This is Jeremy Hemsley of the Sheffield Sharks.
This is Lloyd Gardner, head coach of the Manchester Giants.
This is Lavelle Cook of the Surrey Scorchers.
This is Matthew Brian Aminin of the Cheshire Phoenix.
This is Vince McCauley of the London Lions. And you are now tuned into...
You're now tuned into
the BBL
Show.
The BBL Show.
Okay, welcome to episode 10 of the BBL Summer Road Trip. I am Jay Marriott, and it is way past my bedtime. He is Drew Lasker. You have completely, I can't even say the word because we're a family show, but you have big us. Where are you in the world this week, my friend?
I'm in the world's finest city.
Stop the cap.
San Diego, California, right in the backyard of my alma mater. One of my favorite vacations. We make sure we hit this place up every year. As you can see in the background, for the ones that are watching, it is a view to kill, literally.
Absolutely love it. All this traveling, Drew Lasker has had to take it. We'll have to take a second job when he gets back to Newcastle. But until then, he's living the dream, and all we can do is just be jealous. Okay, today's episode is larger than life, giant to be precise, as we catch up with the new Manchester signing, Josh Steele. We'll see where the look back of Lasker takes us. But first, it's your social media spy.
I'm an international super spy.
It's the Marriott Minute. Okay, let's start with the biggest news of the week, and I'll catch up with Drew at the end of this. Plymouth, not sure, as the Raiders are back in the BBL, new ownership in place. They will be in this season. We'll catch up with Drew on this in a second. With the season nearly upon us, signings keep on coming. Dirk Williams is back in a Lions uniform for his second season and ready for their European campaign. Leicester Riders have added Jabril Adekoya and returner Justin Headley to their roster. Manchester Giants have been busy. Our guest Josh Steele is joined by Americans Gino Artisan and Francois Lewis, as well as returning the core of Jordan Whelan, David Ulf and Jack Hudson. Newcastle Eagles will be returning sharpshooter Lewis Sayers for a second season. Surrey Scorchers have a first signing with Stanley Davis Jr. And last but not least, Glasgow Rocks will be returning Fraser Malcolm. Players we won't be seeing in the BBL next season are Lions duo Faro Aliodzic and Ed Lucas as they head back overseas. And then two things that made me laugh this week. The Duke of Hoops, someone we need to check in with, sharing the bad news he didn't get into the Glasgow Rocks trial. Some good humour from a friend of the show. And Ryder's response to a new Gino in the league, saying they will now be referring to Gino Crandell as MVP Gino. A busy week indeed. This week's Marriott Minutes. I'm always watching.
It's getting real, brother. It is getting close. So far, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's your early, early bird favorite right now? I know most of the teams aren't built up, but just who is really sparking your interest?
Great question. I just came back from having dinner with Peter. So we were obviously chatting a little bit of Leicester. I mean, their roster is pretty much set. You know, maybe they got a couple of surprises up their sleeve, but, you know, that's pretty set. I'm trying to figure out, looking at that team, obviously, with the loss of Johnson, like, are they better? Are they the same? Are they a little bit less? So I'm not entirely sure, but I just think by having a returning group, they're going to be in great shape. But guys, come on, we're going to do it again, aren't we? We're going to fall foul to the London Lions, right? Aren't we all just going to, you know, feel like the mistakes of last season are going to be fixed this season? Redemption, they're going to come for everything. Are we going to fall foul for that, Drew, or are you not buying it again?
No, I'm buying it, because I think in year two, there'll be a lot more humility from the London Lions. They'll be even more so on a mission, because we all know that last year was a disappointment. And they have the experience. Vince has the experience of coaching such a rich roster. You know, they'll be going to the European competition. I just think all of last year's feedback will help London become even stronger moving on in the future. You know, it's just like you look at the NBA teams who build Super League teams. They never win it in year one. You see Brooklyn, they lose, and watch, they probably come back win next year. The Miami Heat back in 2011 when they put the big three together. It took them 2 years to win. So year one is always a learning experience. There's always humility that comes with it, and you'll see them a lot stronger next year.
Yeah, for sure. And I have to say this, because otherwise he'll bring it up. I'm never going to count out the Newcastle Eagles and Coach Mack, okay? Because he will call me out right after the finals. That's the first thing he said to me. So I'm not going to count them out ever again, okay? So I'm not going to do that. Let's save Plymouth in our bag for the end of the show. Let's have a conversation about that. So your world, brother, your world.
My world, literally, as you can see behind, as we float into the Lasker look back. In this episode of the Lasker look back, we go this way to Essex. And no, we're not talking about a reality show. We're actually headed there to talk about some serious business, to welcome back sharpshooter Josh Steele back to the British Basketball League. Josh began his amateur career for the Essex Leopards back in 2012, making his Division I debut at the tender age at 14 years old. Following that, he heads off to the Queen's University off in America, the same university that Kieran Achara attended, and began his professional career for the Surrey Scorchers back in 2017-18 season. After taking his talents off to Spain, he returns in year three for the up-and-coming new rebranded Manchester Giants. So let's bring him in the room and let's see what was his motivation into returning home. And that is your Lasker look back.
Man, you said it all there, Mr. Lasker. Let's get in the new Manchester Giant, Josh Steele. Josh, welcome to the show and welcome back to the BBL.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, I can see it on your face, man. You look really happy, man. It's great to have you. It's great to have a young British back in the country.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about being home. Like, I've been away for a long time now, and this was just a situation where, like, I felt like the situation was right. You know, I'm warmed up to the idea of coming home. So, yeah, I'm excited to be back, man.
Right, absolutely love it. So let's jump around on the timeline a little bit with you. I want to start with maybe we have a friend in common, maybe. So I played in Spain as well under coach Jorge Serna. I know he was at Lleida working as an assistant coach. I don't know, was he there during your time?
Yeah. Jorge, yeah. He was my head coach. Yeah.
Was he really? Awesome. Yeah, so I got to work with him. It's a cool city. I've seen it a couple of times. Obviously, I've just gone on that main walk, you know, the through the city center. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? It's a nice place.
Yeah. World, eh? That's crazy.
Mate, I know. Yeah, yeah. As soon as I see it, whenever I see Jada, like, I'm always like, surely somebody knows Jorge. So, you know, it'll be all good. Yeah.
Was there a language barrier for you there in Spain? Did you ever have to have a translator, or did most of the coaches speak English during your time there?
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky, to be honest. So in Lleida, Jorge speaks English like no problem. And the majority of the team, apart from two people, spoke English. So there wasn't a problem there. Moron, the coach, like, credit to him, man. Honestly, like, I give him big props for this. He didn't speak great English, but he tried. He would say things like, okay, guys, it's time to body up. He'd be like, do you mean warm up? And it's like that kind of thing. You know what I mean? He'd speak like Google Translate English. And like most of the players spoke English. So there wasn't too much of a problem. And then last season, pretty much everybody spoke English, some sort of English. So I've been very lucky. I haven't had that too much of a language barrier problem.
Yeah, awesome. Well, welcome back to the British Basketball League as you are now a Manchester Giant. And before we kind of go into the intricacies of it all, let's just talk about you. You've been missing from the BBL for three seasons now. Old fans that saw you back then when you were 20, 21 years old, what version of Josh Steele will we get to see now?
I think a more confident and refined one. Like when I first came to the BBL, I just came from not playing in college. So it was a lot about finding my feet and finding my footing just as not, you know, not just as a pro and in the BBL, just finding myself again. So like having a few years and playing in places where I play like a much bigger role, more minutes, and you know, a few good summers under my belt, so I think I'll be a lot more confident, and you know, ready to make waves in the league, hopefully do something.
I love that. And let's kind of jump to that. I put that as a later question, but let's just talk about your experience in the States, you know, because look, there's a lot of aspiring players lending their ears to this show, you know, and I think it's important that we talk about the good, the bad and the ugly, right? So, you know, it's not all glory. And I know being out there myself, there was more than one occasion where I thought, you know, look, I'm just going to quit, you know, so there's highs, there's lows, you know, just give us a few stories of your experience.
I mean, like, first of all, the people I met in college, like my teammates, I don't think even now I've been on a team with a group of guys where we've been so close. Like, it was amazing. I still talk to, like, my roommate from college. So we're still very close friends. So the people I met in college were amazing. It was, I don't even regret the experience, man, because I learned a lot as far as just like, you know, what it's like in the States, the toughness, pushing through and, you know, realizing like, you know, you can do one more and go deep, you know, try harder and all those things. But yeah, as far as like what I didn't enjoy from the States, which I guess like you're probably trying to get a bit more because you hear so much all the good things about the States, was for me, it just wasn't really a program that I felt like was benefiting me as far as on the court wise, just talking right now. It didn't feel like I was being developed. I made the mistake of like Duquesne was not my first choice. I went there because I couldn't go to Davidson for academic reasons. Like they're a private school. You need certain, like you need a language qualification, et cetera, et cetera. So I made a rash decision to decide to go to Duquesne because it's in the same conference. Not doing my research that my coach has never dealt with a European player before. I come in doing one-handed passes and European stuff and I'm running on the sideline because of these things. And these are just habits that I've had from a very young age. And to me, you telling me not to do them, it feels like you're trying to make me regress when that's not where, like, what's not what I'm trying to do. And again, I never really felt like I was just a catch and shoot player. I wasn't before college. I didn't want to be one after college. And I was in a situation where, understandably, it's freshman year, but at the same time, when you're bringing me on to come on, make a three, go play defense, sub out, later come on make a three, like I just didn't feel like my game was being developed in the way that I thought that I, you know, the kind of pro I wanted to be. But that was it for me, man. I just didn't really feel like, as far as the court, on the court goes, I don't feel like it was a place where I was going to grow and become the player I wanted to be.
Yeah, that's a good point that you make, and an educational part for upcoming Brits that's looking to make the transition to America. In the past year, I've had the honor of interviewing a lot of high-level athletes. And the one common denominator when it comes to recruiting that they've all said, because a high number of them ended up transferring, is like you mentioned, you got to make sure that you do your research. You got to make sure that you look at style of play, all of those things. Outside of looking at the arena and how many fans sit in there, what does the campus look like? That's mostly what a young 18, 19-year-old is focused on, where the party's at, et cetera. But it's very important that you look at the coach's philosophy, what type of offense they run, because at the end of the day, it has to be the best fit for you as an individual.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, I didn't make that. That was not what I was thinking. Sorry, Jay. That was not, not my thing. Like, and it's normal. I'm young. Like, again, like, and I'd even admittedly, like, I'm young and arrogant and sure was like, you know, all three of us were at some point and learned from it. But for me, I couldn't go to Davidson. So the next thing for me was like, the only box Duquesne was had to tick is, well, they're in the same conference. They're in the A-10. I want to play in the A-10. That's the only box that I had to tick.
Just kind of changing tack slightly, we're going to start talking about your relationship with Coach Gardner. You know, it obviously has some really deep roots going back to the Barking Abbin days. You know, is he the big reason you are a Giant, or are there more factors?
There's a lot of factors, but I would be lying to say that he isn't a huge one. He's like, I'd be lying if I said he wasn't. Like you said, like, I've known Lloyd since I was about 12, 11, like, but when he asked me to come to Barking Abbin, he's been a huge part of my basketball career. So, yeah, I'm just really amped to play for Lloyd. Like, I hold Lloyd in such a high regard as a coach. I think he's a massive reason he's the player I am today. Like, he had a huge part in my development. Not a discredit to the other coaches who, you know, helped me along the way, but he is definitely a massive reason. He had a big, in like 4 years. Like, you know, again, you know what I mean? I feel like Lloyd's always been able to get the best out of people.
Sounds good. We kind of keep losing you, keep dropping in and out. But
Coach Lloyd, I think he proven, obviously, that he's a great coach, picking up that Manchester Giant team in midseason and having them literally finish, I don't know, a game or two out the playoffs. So I'm interested to see how he does with the full year on his belt, and then also with this collection of talent that he's been able to put on the table. I think it's fair to say that already on paper, you guys look better than the team last year. So excited. You guys got a young core there and got have the opportunity to grow together. So I'm excited to follow you guys this season. So good luck to you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Believe me, I mean, I can't wait to get to preseason, honestly.
Yeah, don't forget as well, this is his team as well, right? This gets to be his team, his imprint. So it's going to be pretty exciting. And I think, look, the listeners can hear, the one thing that we can take from this road trip is the listeners can just hear how enthusiastic you are about being there. And I think that says a lot about where the franchise is going, you know? So that's a big thing. Somebody like Josh Steele wanting to be on a team like that, it's only good things for the league. And we're pretty excited to have you back. So listen, thank you so much for your time. Look, it's nearly go time, right? So just get a few more runs under your belt and then you'll be in preseason. But we'll speak to you mid-season, see how you guys are getting on. But thanks for your time, buddy.
No problem. No problem. Thanks for having me. I'd love to do this again, for sure. Thank you.
Awesome. We'll see you soon, Josh. Be easy, man.
Cheers, Josh. Appreciate it. Okay, really thankful for Josh's time. Hopefully we get enough of that there. We had a few technical difficulties, but he was a really good guest right there. He was giving us some really good information. So hopefully that comes through for you guys. And just quickly before I say goodbye, at least, Drew, let's just have a quick talk about Plymouth. Obviously, it's announced that they're coming back into the league. It's kind of shrouded in secrecy at the minute in terms of like some of the logistics of things, like can they be called the Raiders again? I don't know how that's going to work. You know, where are they playing, since we know that the Pavilions was such a difficulty, or was that just a relationship problem? First and foremost, like, what do you think about them coming back into the league?
Yeah, just as a hot topic without having much time to really digest the situation, I would like to assume that the BBL has made sure that this takeover, whatever exactly it is, that is official and everything in the background is stable, and we're not rushing to bring a team in just so we can make sure that we can fill a schedule. Because I see both sides of it. Like, I was really concerned losing two teams going into this season. Like, it was really concerning. And then on the other side, it's that, you know, you recognize that it's concerning. You're like, man, we can't have a 9-team league. 10 is a nice round number, but hopefully we're not rushing to put them in just to make numbers. Hopefully they got all their ducks in a row, because we do not want to see another Lions. I mean, not a Lions. So excuse me, a London. Is it Capital? I forget the name already.
Royals.
Sorry, I've been in the league for too long. Hopefully it's not another Royals situation. So, but I was really thrilled and happy to see that, especially for those fans down there, you and I, who have a connection to that club. So I just hope that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed.
Yeah, I mean, I share exactly the same concerns with you. So, like, first and foremost, being from Plymouth and us having that Plymouth connection, it was great. That was my first reaction. And I feel like, you know, we need to have a franchise there. We have a fan base. We have a community. There's some amazing volunteers down there. There's history. You know, there's so much history down there that we can't lose it. But again, I am concerned that it was kind of quick, right? You know, like I've been on here now for more than a few episodes talking about how I feel like the process that we're going through as a franchise is really thorough. And this feels like really quick, right? Not quick in some senses, because you do have a stable franchise right there. It's not like you have to guess about the fans. You don't have to guess about the support you're going to get. You probably don't need to guess about the sponsors that you're going to get, to be honest. So there is an element of that could rush that situation. But, you know, not seeing it necessarily in experienced hands. But then the beauty of that is that we might be surprised with what comes to the table. I would imagine, and this is just guesswork, guys, I don't know anything, but I would imagine that the league are really going to get their hands around that franchise and really, really genuinely support somebody who's going to be new to the basketball world. And hopefully, you know, I've definitely sent him a message to wish him well. I hope he does a fantastic job. I don't know who else is behind it. I don't really know what's going on with the Turkish investment. The bit that will make me sad is if it's not continuing as the Raiders and it needs to kind of go for a rebirth, you know, because there's probably a little bit about the Cheshire thing as well, right? You know, that for me in that era, they're the Jets, right? And now they have to be the Phoenix. And it's just a shame that, I don't know, like nostalgia for me will hurt a little bit in that situation. But hey, we'll all get behind it. I think that it is a necessity. We don't want to be losing teams out the league, especially a franchise that, as I said, you know, without that Pavilions issue that came up, I can't really see a lot wrong with the franchise itself. You know, it looked healthy and in a good place. So, you know, fingers crossed.
I really hope, I didn't even think about that part of it. I really hope it's not rebranded, because for me personally, it just wouldn't be the same. No. It'd be great to have a team. All things must come to an end, and rebranding happens all the time. But for me, being part of that club and knowing what they stand for, it wouldn't be the same for me.
Yeah. So time will tell. I'm sure this has got to play out, guys. So we've got plenty of content to be talking on this. I think at the minute, it's just all guesswork. It's very secretive, whatever's going on. And I can't imagine the league, you know, being irresponsible in this situation. I can just imagine that if it is a little bit rushed, I can imagine that they're going to get their hands around it and they're going to give some full support. So, you know, let's hope. But as a Plymouthian, you know, we need to take the positive from that, and we're happy to see them back in the league. Anyway, listen, guys, always a quick whistle stop. Like I said, I really, really genuinely hope that interference didn't mess it up too much, because Josh was a great guest. And, you know, if it does, we'll definitely go back to him, because, you know, he was giving us a lot of wise words, a tough situation in the States as well, which I think is great for some of the youngsters to hear and hear some of those wise words of people going through it. But as always, very, very grateful. Drew, just get off my screen with your damn background and go and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, touche, mate. And I agree with you. I hope his audio, we didn't lose most of that. But one thing we can say is that you could sense the enthusiasm. And for those that are listening, you can actually see it. He's very happy, and you can't buy happiness. So, you know, this return home is going to be a great one for Josh. And like I say, we'll be back to normal. We really appreciate all the fans that's followed us this summer. You know, we just been kind of winging it on the move. You know, Jay and I have changed locations every episode. We got players that's just recording from where they are in that particular moment, as Josh was recording from a pickup game somewhere in London. But I'm going to get off the screen, because my wife just texted me and told me that there's food at the pool. She just ordered me a pina colada, a cold beer. So goodbye.
The show. The
show. Thanks for listening to the BBO Show. The BBO Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBO on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events and fan interaction. Until next time.